two subjects tonight. One is Hakaras HaTov, which is appreciation. And the other one is something that I came across yesterday which disturbed me very much, and that's a thing called Facebook. So I want to apologize to all those on Kalalashon and TorahAnytime.com who don't know anything about this, that I have to speak about it tonight because it seems to be a very important subject. And the reason that those people who don't know anything about it need to know about it is, first of all, if they know any friends that are on it, they should get them off it. And if they don't have any friends who are on it, they should daven for all the people who are on it, that they should get in their heads that they should get off it. So I'm not trying to educate anyone about the things I'm going to read tonight, but whoever feels uncomfortable should talk and turn off what they're listening to. But it's such an important topic that I feel that I definitely have to speak about it. Just interesting, TorahAnytime.com, which is sitting right here in front of me, which you can get on the internet, which of course I'm very against. But if you're on the internet, so then you might as well go to TorahAnytime.com. Not to anywhere else, of course. But then again, if that was the only thing you're going on the internet for, why do you have internet? So if you have internet for other things like business and things that are of tachlis, if there's such a thing, then on your spare time on the internet, you should go to TorahAnytime. But what happened, what's happening is that it's getting me into a lot of trouble. Well, not trouble, but you see, Kalalashon is on the phone. So nobody has any idea what I look like. But Torah Anytime that is on film. So now there are people who are meeting me places and saying, "Wallerstein, that's you. Is that you?" And I'm like, "How would this person know who I am?" And they're like, "TorahAnytime.com, I saw you." So I have to be very careful now because people know what I look like. All right. That could be good. That could be bad. All right. Well, we're not going to get into that subject. Okay, this week's Pashas Vayera. Everyone knows Vayera, there are seven makos in Vayera. There are three makos in Bo. Interesting, the word Vayera, so if you add it up, it equals, in Gematrik Tan, it means no zeros. So the Vav is 6, Aleph is 7, Resh is 2, Aleph, which is 9, Aleph is 10. So Vayera in Gematrik Tan stands for the 10 makos which began in this week's Pasha. But how many makos are in of the 10? There are 7. So if you take the first two letters of this week's Pasha, it's Vav and Aleph, which equals 7. If you take the first two letters of next week's Pasha, which has 3 makos in it, right? Abba Choshech and Machos Bechores, Bo, Beis Aleph equals 3. So the Rosh Tevis of the Pashas actually tell us how many makos are in each Pasha. Just a little thing. But anyway. So interesting, there's a very interesting subject that we need to learn from these 10 makos. Different than, you know, than just what they were. There's an unbelievable kliyoker, if you get a chance this Shabbos to look at it. I don't have time to learn it tonight. There's an unbelievable kliyoker which goes through why did Hashem frogs and blood and lice and you know, God could have changed nature in many, many different ways. Why specifically these 10? And each one was mida kenegan mida against the mitzriim. But you have to look in the kliyoker in this week's Pasha on Dam Tzedek Kinim. It's very, very fascinating. But one of the most important things that we can learn also very positive from the Makos, is Hakaras HaTov. What do I mean by Hakaras HaTov? Moshe Rabbeinu, we learned last week, right, was my plug-in chair with my light bulb. And I really should have stopped there with the light bulb last week. So I wanted to do it better. But the Shabbos, I gave a shift for the girls. So I wanted to do even better. So I took the light bulb, and then I took my CD player. And I wanted to show them that the music that's within you, the happiness that's within you, you can't get unless you plug it in. So I didn't only have my light bulb, I had my CD player with a nice, good Jewish CD in it, and it didn't work. So somebody sent me an email and said, "You see, you can plug in and it doesn't work." I set myself up for that. So I said, no, I had to do it in 1 second. But sometimes you tack a plug in and it doesn't happen right away. You got to fix this, you got to change that, you got to tune it, you know, to the station that you got to get on. You're right, sometimes a person plugs in and he doesn't feel the energy right away. So maybe that's why it didn't work. Because, yeah, sometimes you have to play with it. My light bulb worked right away. So some people walked away and said, "I'll plug in. It's going to work right away." Sometimes it might have to take a little bit of time. But one of the unbelievable lessons of this week's parasha is here you have Moshe Rabbeinu who's plugged in, right? He's got this power. He's got this mata. And Hashem says, hold on to this matah. For every makah, hold on to this matah, so that every time you do something, right, you split the yam, whatever it is, you'll realize it's not your strength, that it's the strength of the, it's the stick, and the stick's in the which we learned last week, which the whole power of the stick is in the hand that's holding it. But three makos, Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't do. Three makos you can't do. Dam, blood, tzvadeya, the frogs, and kinim. Why? Because where did the frogs come from? The Nile River. Right? Came from the Nile River. Where did the blood come from? The Nile River. Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by what? By the Nile River. He was put in a basket into the Nile River. So Hashem said, you can't hit what saved you. So you can't go and hit the water which saved you, because that's a very bad midah. It's what we call kafui tov. You're going to hit something that's going to make you into a very bad person if you're going to hit something that helped you, right? So therefore Hashem said, no, you can't hit the water, because the water saved your life. What about kinim? What about lice? So the makah of lice, when you hit the ground, every kernel, every grain of sand became a louse, thank you. Become a louse. So he had to hit the ground. And since Moshe Rabbeinu, when he killed the Mitzri, and he said the Shem Hashem, the ground opened up and swallowed the Mitzri, so the ground also saved his life. Therefore, he wasn't allowed to hit the ground. Now, when you teach this to somebody, this really, really makes absolutely no sense. Because between me and you, everybody, does water have feelings? The Nile River's like, oh, I can't believe what you did. I saved you, and you hit me. Water has no feelings. And what does it mean to hit water? What does it mean to hit water? Maybe when you swim, right, and every stroke you take, you're slapping the water. What does it mean to hit water? You can hit water. You can hit a person. You can't hit water. What does it mean to hit water? The water feels something. And the ground that you step on all the time, what does it mean to hit the ground? What does it mean to hit the ground? And it's going to bother the ground if you take a stick and you hit it. It's not going to bother the ground at all. So why didn't Hashem let him do this? Why didn't Hashem hit the ground, hit the water? What's the difference? That means Moshe Rabbeinu can't drink water for the rest of his life. He can't drink water because the water saved him. So I can't drink water. Look what I'm doing. I'm drinking water. Right? So what's going on over here? So it's very, very deep what's going on over here. And it's so important for all of us. And it's so important for this generation. It's not about the water. The water has no feeling. It's not about the ground. The ground has no feeling. It's about the person. It's about Moshe Rabbeinu. You're right, the water has no feeling. But if water saved you, and as a human being, taking a stick and striking something is a negative action, then you are not allowed to take a negative action against something that saved you, even if that something has no feeling, because it's going to change you. It's going to change you. And therefore, it wasn't to protect the water or the ground. It was, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's the most important midah of a person in Klal Yisrael is recognizing when someone does something for you that's good. And even if that person, that other object, doesn't feel it, you cannot hit it, because it's going to make you into a person who can do a negative act to something that did something for you. It's going to totally destroy you. There's a famous story. I don't remember who the Gedolim that were in it was involved, but it was a few years before the Holocaust in Europe, and there was a famous Rosh Yeshiva, and he took his Talmud Muvik. He used to take him for a walk in the woods. And they used to go for a walk in the woods to talk about life and things like that. It's spite of this. To go to a place where there's nobody and talk about life. And this Rosh Yeshiva, when he took his Talmud through the woods, he would say, that berry is poison. That berry is good for you. That leaf you can eat. Those rocks will protect you. And he was sort of giving him a Boy Scout lesson. Now, we're talking about Gedoyle Torah, big Rosh Yeshiva, learning Torah, walking through the woods and telling him that, you know, that's a good rock to hide under, that'll protect you, you know, If you think you can go climb a tree and a bear is not going to follow you, bears can climb trees. He's giving him all these lessons, but the main lessons he gave him was what you can eat in the woods and what's going to kill you, what's poison ivy, all this stuff. This guy, this Talmud, this student, walking with Yeshiva, I expect Yeshiva to talk to me, Ktsais, you know, Rekiva Eger, some deep thoughts, and he's taking me in Boy Scouting. This you can eat, this you can't eat, this is poison. Anyway, right after this whole thing went on, a year or two later, came World War II. This student, the whole yeshiva was dispersed, they all ran for their lives. Some ended up in concentration camps, were killed. This student ended up in the woods. Like this Rosh Yeshiva who was teaching him had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew that he had to teach this student. I forgot who it was Rosh Yeshiva Panovich. I don't know. He became a very, very big gadol. Who? Rav Gusman, right. It's the story of Rav Gusman. So this boy was Rav Gusman. And Rav Gusman lived in the woods during the whole Holocaust. With the partisans, without that. And how did he live in the woods? His Rebbe had taught him what you can eat, what you can't eat, where you can hide, where you can't hide, what's good for you in the woods, what's not good for you in the woods. So Rav Gusman, who was a gadol, outside his house, had a garden. And every day he would go to this garden, and he would water it. He would bend down, go into the dirt. There's a big rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, would go into the dirt and pull out the weeds. He was a gardener. He was gardening in this garden. So his Talmidim, his students, said to him, Rebbe, you know, like my students always tell me, like, we'll take care of your lawn, and we'll take care of your gardening. Don't worry about it. You know, like, Rebbe, you shouldn't be in the dirt. You're Rav Gusman. You're Rosh Yeshiva. He said, till the day I die, nobody's going to touch this garden. He says, the little bit I can give back to the trees and the bushes and the ecology of the world, because that's what saved me. Of course Hashem saved him. But it was the messenger was the plants and the trees that he lived off. So he said, the little that I could give back is to water them and to grow this garden and to take care of it. That's how you become a gadol, boys. Not to kill the ecology. Throw your stuff out the window when you're going down Avenue J. We spoke about this before. You know, let the shower run for 45 minutes before you walk into it. So, like, you know, half the water in the United States is, you know, you don't care. What do you care? And the sink's running and this is running because it's water. Water's free. And abusing the earth that we live on, you see there of Gusman, he took this very, very serious. But much more scary than that. I know you don't like the subject, but I like the subject. And that's the subject of kivud ava'im, of your appearance. A plant, water. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to be negative to water or to the ground. They don't have feelings. They're not human. They didn't give birth to you. Because Baruch Hu said, don't you dare touch that water with a stick. Don't you dare be negative to that water because it's going to destroy you. Don't you dare hit the ground. So what happens when a person doesn't show HaKaras HaTov to the people who brought him to this world? When we aggravate them and we agitate them and we ignore them, Halachas Kama is going to turn you into a monster. I had this discussion with a very big tzaddik. I said, what came first? The lack of kivud of aim? The lack of respect? Or kids that are mechal Shabbos? What came first? Chil Shabbos? Treif? Facebook? New Year's parties and clubs? Did that come first? Or the lack of kivud of aim that nobody respects their parents anymore? And he said, there's no question that the lack of kivud of aim came first. Because if there's no kivud of aim, we don't respect our parents who, whether they treat us great or not, okay, most of them are trying to do their best. Some of them are Holocaust survivors. Some of them have gone through a very tough life. But most of them are really trying to do their best. And if we give them attitude, and we walk out on them, and we scream at them, and we tell them, I don't want to use the words that we tell them, then of course we're not going to keep Shabbos down the line. And of course we're not going to keep kosher down the line. And of course we're going to go out with non-Jewish girls down the line. And you're going to say, Rabbi Wallerstein, how could you say that because I'm not having kibbutz of aim that, God forbid, a guy's going to go out with a non-Jewish girl. This has nothing to do with this. And the answer is it has to do with it. Because the lack of kibbutz of aim means you have no hakaras hatov. You have no appreciation at all. So if you have no appreciation for your parents, who you can see, who give you food, who diapered you in the middle of the night, who burped you in the middle of the night, I don't care what they were to you, but the truth is that when you're an infant, the parent has no choice. We got to diaper that little diaper, you know? And it's not easy at 2 o'clock in the morning and take you to the doctor with 103 and worry and be nervous and go to school and PTA and Shemitah and wait on 4 hours in line. All our parents did that. Maybe they stopped doing it when you were 6 or 8, but they definitely did it the first 5 years. So when a child doesn't have a carcinoma, he spits in his parents' face, and when I see the lack of respect and the disgusting way that this generation talks to their parents, so where do you think it's going to take you? Of course it's going to take you to be Mechallel Shabbos. Because if a parent that you see, you don't appreciate, so how are you going to be connected to God? God you don't see. So the first thing you're going to do is say, flip God. I don't need God. What does God have to do with me? And totally disconnect. There's absolutely no hakaras hatov. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't hit the water. Ha, I laugh at that. Don't hit your parents. Forget the water. Don't hit your parents. Moshe Rabbeinu, don't hit the water. Why? Because what? What did the water do for him? Let's think about this for a second. What did water do for him? Any miracles? No, it didn't. It just behaved like water. It didn't do anything. It didn't change. It didn't become ice. Yeah, but it didn't change its bria. It didn't change its nature. So what did it do for Moshe? It would have done it for him and me and him and everyone in the room. Put us in a basket. Not at this weight, but as a little kid. Put him in a basket and let it float on the water. Things float on water. Had nothing to do with the water. It's not like the water said, hey, man, you owe me. You know, because everyone else, I would have sunk. But you, I kept up. It was a boat. The Torah says it had tar on it. It was waterproof. There was no miracle here. There was no miracle here. So it just acted as water. And even though it just acted as water, did nothing for Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, don't hit water which has no feelings. Oyvei what we do to our parents. Oyvei what we do to the people who care about us, guys. Oy, are we going to pay for this? If you can't hit water. And this is how we treat our parents. And we treat the people that are good to us. So of course they're going to be Mechallel Shabbos. Because if you don't appreciate your parents, you're going to appreciate something you can't see. Something you have to come to Chabura to learn how to look at a tree and appreciate that Hashem made the tree. When you have parents right in front of you, who give you, I saw a kid this week. They gave this kid everything. Everything. And when he got into the biggest trouble of his life, they went out and they took him for ice cream. I freaked out. Because he was so broken and he was so depressed that they, what he did was wrong to them. They took him out for ice cream. I said, you're out of your minds. So you think he said, oh my God, I have crazy parents. I did such a bad thing and they took me out for ice cream? No. He threw it in their face. I asked you for ice cream? You wanted to make yourselves feel better about the whole situation. I'm looking at this kid, I'm like, so freaked out. You're so in the dirt that you can buy a guy ice cream after he gets into the biggest trouble of his life, and he says, in your face, like I ate it for you, did you a favor, so you shouldn't feel so bad. This is where we are. So, of course, the lack of kibbutz of aim is going to take us to be Mechallel Shabbos and to do everything else, because we don't see Hashem. We already have to learn to be connected to Hashem. And the same thing with our bodies. Where's it going to take us? So we have Chas V'Shalom again, whoever's on Kol HaLashon, and whoever's watching this, I'm sorry if I hurt you in any way. But there's a thing called cutting. With kids today, it's a big thing. Where girls cut themselves and boys cut themselves. How does a person... There was a grandmother that asked me, I heard my granddaughter is cutting. What does that mean, Rabbi Wallerstein? This grandmother went through the Holocaust. What am I going to tell her? What am I going to tell her? I'm going to tell her that there's a Jewish kid that's doing to herself what the Nazis did to us. How am I going to explain this to a woman? I'll kill her. We have a generation of cutters. Where you sit, you take a knife, and you cut your hands, and you cut your legs to feel the blood. Sure, you don't even know, but this is a big thing today. It's a big thing, cutters. So you think to yourself, cut your own body? Cut your own body? Don't get so crazy. We have piercings. What's the difference? Put 3 tongue rings through your mouth, Miss Michigan Ganson, out of your mind. You can't eat, right? You can't eat anything cold and your whole tongue goes into a freeze, right? You can't eat. You're clicking the whole time of a generation. Girl comes on to me, she says, hello, Rabbi Wallerstein. And she's got a mezuzah in her tongue. Siri, you're laughing. So you think it doesn't hurt? You think it doesn't hurt? So how does a person maim their own body? How does a person maim your own body? And the answer is, you have no appreciation for your body. There's no hakar satov that you have a body. So yeah, you can stick holes in every part of your body. And then you can cut yourself in every part of your body. And you can put crazy, crazy drugs, crazy stuff into this beautiful body that Hashem gave you that makes you crazy. And you could mushroom and this room and that and burn your brains out and burn your brain cells out, and the whole world is doing it. The whole world is doing it. I meet kids, they're fried. Yeah. They did acid, and mamash, they were smart kids, they have no brains left. They burn out. How does a person burn out his own brains? And the answer is, he doesn't appreciate his brains. You don't burn out something that you appreciate. You don't stick holes into something you appreciate. So there's a breakdown, it's the whole Akar Satoiv. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we got to start real early. Like, you can't even hit water. Because water acted in its natural state. So your body in its natural state, you're not allowed to hurt. Chas v'shalom, your body's a beautiful, beautiful Testarossa sports car Hashem gave you. It's 0 to 60 in no seconds. In 1 second, it's got two beautiful headlamps. You can see, right? Every morning, just I was just looking through the brachas before. Every morning, you say the brachas. Who says brachas over here with kavana? Who says brachas? But whoever does say brachas, right? Go through the brachas in the morning. Right, you finish in 2 seconds. Look what it says over here. Thank you, Hashem. I'm Jewish. I'm not a guy. I have a mitzvah of tefillin. I have an olam haba. I have a Gan Eden. I have a Mashiach and David. I got a chance to be. I'm part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a piece of you. I'm connected to you. Right? Who appreciates that? Just the opposite. Am I going to go daven again? Oh, I got to go. That's all I hear a whole week. I got to learn again? Okay, Rabbi, I'll learn 10 minutes. I'll give you 10 minutes. Girl came to me this week. Find me yeshiva. I'm going to go to yeshiva. But find me a school that only learns 1 hour a day. I'm like, what? I'm not, this Jewish stuff, I'll give it 1 hour a day. What are you going to do the rest of the day? 4 hours I'll work, and you do the math. The rest, I'm going to chill. So, Baruch Atah Hashem, thank you, Hashem, that I'm Jewish. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm not an Eved, that I'm not a servant, that you can walk out the door tonight, you don't belong to anybody. You're a free person, you're not an Eved. And Eved, everything he does belongs to the master. You have a life. You make money. It's your money. Hashem says, just give me Meiser. It's your body. Just don't do the wrong thing with it. Baruch Hashem, could you imagine? I have a friend that's visiting someone in prison. The guy's in prison for like 30 years. He's like in his 60s, 70s. He's gone. He's done. He will never be able to walk out of prison. My friend tells me that every time the thing shuts behind him and he walks out, you know, he visits somebody. He walks out, he says, I'm dancing to my car. They're all locked in there. You can walk out and you can walk and walk and keep walking and no one will stop you. In prison, you walk, you get to the gate and there's three German shepherds on you. Every one of us in this room, we can walk out here tonight. We're free. We're free people. Anybody have a car to tell for that? Anybody appreciate it for that? We don't appreciate it. This is a brachas that you make in the morning. Shalai asani isha. You didn't make me a woman. I don't have to go through all the woman stuff. I don't have to get pregnant. I don't have to give birth. Yeah, it's very hard to be a woman. It's much easier to be a man. Baruch Hashem, shalai asani isha. I can put on tefillin. They don't put on tefillin. I have a mitzvah to learn Torah. They don't have a mitzvah to learn Torah. I have all these extra mitzvahs that women don't have. Yay! And then we have some guys that are walking around that they're not so proud that they're men. No, I don't mean that as serious. I don't mean that in that way. They'd rather not do mitzvahs. You know what? I wish I was a girl. I don't have to learn Torah. I don't have to put on tefillin. I don't have to go to minyan. Shabbos, I don't have to go to shul 3 times a day. Who needs this? Shalom Yisani Isha, we say every morning. But Keach Ivrim, guys, I want to give you a homework tonight. I want to give everyone homework tonight. Do me a favor. Go home tonight. When you get home through the front door, close your eyes. Do not open your eyes anymore until you go to sleep. Try it. I guarantee you not one guy in this room can do it. Get to the door, close it, and close your eyes. Go upstairs to your room with your eyes closed. Feel your way up. Serious. This will change your life. Feel your way up to your room. Get undressed with your eyes closed. Put on your pajamas, whatever it is, with your eyes closed. Go to the bathroom, brush your teeth with your eyes closed, and then get into bed. I promise you, you will not be able to do it. You don't even imagine, you can't even imagine what a blind person, for your whole rest of your life, you only see black. Go ahead, do the homework I gave you tonight. You'll freak out of your head. That's 8 minutes of your life. Think about your whole life, not ever be able to see a color, a person, or anything. And on top of that, if you can't see food, you don't have an appetite for food. If you can't see what you're drinking, try it. Eat an apple in the dark. Close your eyes and eat food. You'll see. It doesn't have the same taste because part of it is the visibility. So every morning, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokim Mechalam, Pokeach Ivrim. Thank you for giving sight to the blind. That's you. Does it mean anything to anyone here? Do you have a karsa tov? Do you get up in the morning and say, I can't even imagine being blind? So do your homework tonight, guys, really. You'll appreciate a Kodesh Baruch, you appreciate that you have eyes. You're going to bang into a couple of walls, and you're going to cut yourself up a little bit. But if you couldn't see, that's what you would be doing. Imagine the whole life in darkness. Hakaras HaTov, appreciation. You have to appreciate that's the connection. And it really has to start with the most innate things. Water, the ground, the things that in life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, not to abuse it. To get up in the morning and look at the sun and say, if we didn't have a sun, then it would be cold every single day. There would be snow, there would be ice. There would be no life. Just the sun, just the moon, just what we have, just... Here, Pekech Ivrim, I'm not giving you any big chidushim. Malbish Arumim. Check out your cat outside. The cat that's on my lawn outside when it's 8 degrees. He don't got no clove. The guy is shivering. And he's not going to get clove. We, Baruch Hashem, we human beings, we get clothes. It gets colder, we put on more clothes. It gets colder, we put on more clothes. It's wet, we put on boots. It's raining, we put on an umbrella. You want to go skiing, you put on gloves. Hashem created everything to keep you warm from head to toe. No animal in the world, except those mishugom on the west side that buy dresses and coats for their dogs. You know, they're not normal, right? Except for the crazy people in the world. No animals in the world have clothing. But we as human beings, we have clothing. So who appreciates the clothing? I'll tell you a story in my school, in high school. Probably most of you did that. In high school, in my school, the kids, they hate the uniform. Right? Uniform's the enemy. So they come the last day. Half of them rip it like they're an oval, like someone died. Right? Ah, Rebbe, it's finally over. Really? Take a scissors and they cut him in class. So that I stopped. I said, you're not allowed to rip clothing because you know the story with David HaMelech, which I'll tell you in 1 second. You're not allowed to rip clothing. Chas v'shalom, it's going to come back to haunt you. But they have this thing that when you finish, probably in high school also, that everybody signs your shirt. Everyone signs your shirt and then you hang your shirt up. And I said, I don't want that. I said, guys, let's give our shirts to poor people. You don't want to wear a uniform? I understand. Let's take it. So now we take the shirts and we give it to poor people. You can't just write on a shirt or just rip a shirt. Because we make a bracha to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, Malbush Aruman, that you dress the naked. That a human being is able to get dressed. Animals can't get dressed. The birds, Nebuch, have to fly from here to Florida because they can't put on a coat. So they can't hang out in the winter in New York. So they got to fly to Florida. We get on a plane. We're there in 2.5 hours. It takes them a long time to get to Florida. So this is just brachas that we make in the morning. Matir Asurim, getting out of jail. Matir Asurim is a person getting is we're released. We can do whatever we want. We can run. We can jump. We're not in jail. We're not in a little teeny cell. If you're claustrophobic, try that once. Go to Alcatraz. Sit in a cell. Just you by yourself in a teeny little cell. Imagine that for the rest of your life, Chas v'shalom. Go out of your mind. You'd hang yourself. You could never make it. Because Baruch Hu, every day we walk out in the morning to work, to school, to this. Are you in a cell? You're free. You're free to walk out tonight. You're free. Nobody's watching you. Baruch Hashem, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Matir Asurim, Zaykev Kefufim, that we're able to stand up straight. Imagine crawling your whole life. Imagine not being able to stand up straight. I know Nebuchadnezzar, a man who's a very, very poor man, that he comes to me, and because of his arthritis, he's bent over, totally bent over. He can't straighten up. And all he can see in the world is from this level and down. He can't pick his head up. Zaykev kefufim, that you're, all those vertebrae, when you get out of bed in the morning, they all fit into each other, and you're able to step up. Go talk to someone who has back problems. I had once in my life. I was laying on the floor screaming for a week. They couldn't do anything for me. One vertebrae was pinched. It was out of my mind. You get up in the morning, you sit down,